I'm going to first give you a little bit of an overview, and then we're going to break this down one at a time. Our goal for this conference, this session, is that we'll give you enough knowledge that'll pay for what it costs you to come to the conference. That's our goal. We can give you the information. You'll have to do the implementation, but that's our goal. The first thing we're going to do is actually describe what it costs, what you're giving up when you have one income, because it may not be what you think it is. Then we're going to go into a method for keeping track of your spending habits, and then we're going to go into a procedure where we're going to look at several different expenses and explain how we can get to the lowest common, the lowest way of our spending our money, and then we will try to finish up if we have time and talk about what do you do with your money once you're saving it. Where do you put it, but what kind of goals you would have as to what you want to do with the money that you do save. You have to come.
Okay. One of the things is it's hard to go from two incomes to one income. And I'm going to use an example of what it is that you are, what it is that you're saving, or what is the cost to have a second income. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that assume that you have a second income of, say, $20,000 that you did have or do have. And
Do you mean this is the second income?
Yes.
Okay. So does 20,000 might be one figure you could use, so that if one person is bringing in an income, the other income perhaps is 20,000. We're going to use U.S. dollars today, but it kind of goes across the board. Other than we were in Chile visiting our daughter who's studying there this semester, and Tom loved going to the ATM because when he left the ATM, he'd have four and a half million left in the bank account. Unfortunately, it was pesos, not dollars. So we felt very wealthy.
Well, let's assume you're making $1,700 a month, which is roughly $20,000.
$20,000 a year, $1,700 a month.
Yeah. And that may look like a fair sum of money, but in the United States, and the rules may be different in other countries, but let's assume you add that income onto your spouse's, and that puts you maybe in today's new tax bracket, I'm going to use this 25%. And with Social Security being 7.6%, and I'm going to use Illinois as an example, we have a state income tax that's a flat 3%. So 35% of that $1,700 right away goes to Uncle Sam or your provincial government or whatever. So that knocks down that $1,700 to $1,200. Now that's what you have left as disposable income. Now probably one of the biggest costs that you have in that is once you have is babysitting expenses. We haven't had a babysitter for a while, but I'm assuming, what do you think is the cost of baby per daycare?
Per month?
Okay. But let's say, I'm going to use, maybe you only had one child to start out with, and maybe you're paying, let's say even $500. You know, I'm going to be real modest about it. What?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay, let's use
$600. Okay.
So that max down your income to $600 left in cash.
Per month.
Now, to have that $600 left for that second job, number one, you have extra transportation. Let's assume you have a second car. You got to drive to and from work. And I'm going to use anywhere from $200 to $300 because you've got insurance, you've got to drive to work that you might not otherwise. And that's going to take that $600 down to $300 of leftover income. Now, in addition to working now, you've got to have Sometimes you may need work clothes that you might not otherwise need if you have a second child. You may need work expenses, going out to lunch. That's going to knock off another $100 a month at least. You see what I'm getting to? In addition to that, because you're working, you don't have, outside the home, you don't have time to cook from scratch, so you're going to buy ready-made meals, say. That's going to cost you at least an extra $50 a month. You may eat out more because you're running from job to home. That's going to run $50 to $100 more. So when you're down, you're working for, at a $20,000 income, you're working for less than a dollar an hour. That's your disposable income. So,
if we have
some pass outs.
If some of you have them already, but this compares other income levels too. And how we started getting interested in it is we would have tax clients come to us, and sometimes they would say, we'd finish their taxes, and they'd say, "Boy, is it worth it for me to work?" And sometimes they were just kind of asking the question as a rhetorical question, but more often than not, we'd sit down with them and figure out exactly how much income they were getting from the second income. And we started, one of the first people we did was a woman who made over $60,000 a year. And we figured out, when we figured out that at the end of it, the bottom line, she made about $20,000 a year and working at like a 65-hour week. And in the end, they decided they'd rather cut costs than have her be working outside the home. So if you're feeling a strain on your budget, it may not be only because you have one income. It may be because it's just part of being raising a family and with things being high. So the whole point is that we're going to try to get to the point where you can see where you can, you know, you're not being, it's not necessarily a complete burden that that there's only one person working, because we see people over and over again where there are two people working and employed outside the home. There's always you know, people working, but we want to make sure that you realize that it's not just the one income. You are losing a little bit, but not as much. And if someone's at home, you can be sure that you're going to be saving more than you normally would. I think that how does it make you feel to think about writing down all of your expenses? Have you ever thought about that or done that? Yeah, it's a chore. It is. It is a chore. What would you think could be the benefit of doing it? Good. It gives you a sense of control. That's part of it. Any other? Helps you create a budget. Exactly. I like to call it a spending plan, because a budget makes me feel, there's nothing wrong with saying that. It just makes me go running out of the room screaming. So I prefer to think of how I can use the money, because it gives you a sense of control, because you can see where the money's going. You need to know where you are before you know where you're going. In fact, we bought you a gift. We're going to give you each a notebook. And two, if we've got enough to go around, so you can keep track of your expenses for 1 month. And we feel that the notebook helps you overcome the Starbucks syndrome. Would anybody want to hazard a guess at what the Starbucks syndrome might be? This. Good. Right. The $20 you spend on coffee every month that you don't realize. At the end of the month, besides putting in the little money that, you know, whatever you spend, and it's painstaking, and you can have two. If you need two, you can have two. I think we'll do one first, and then if we have extras, we'll give you two, so you each can have a copy of one. That's our gift to you, because we believe so strongly that if you write down your expenses for a month, there have been estimates of anywhere from saving from 10 to 20% of what you spend. Because you look at it, and after you're finished with looking at your month of expenses, and you add in your mortgage or your rent and your utilities, then you're going to go back and look and say, what money was absolutely thrown out the window? What are some of the things that could have been just money thrown out of the window? Starbucks, well, it could be. But if you want Starbucks, maybe you want it once a week instead of five times a week. Starbucks is kind of a nice thing. But there are actually some things. Starbucks is a good example of a nice thing you might want to get rid of. But there are some things that you actually, we found that we actually threw away. It was like throwing money away. A late video. That's an example. I mean, and that's unbelievable. And once you have teenagers, they really can give you late videos. So you might as well take your money and throw it out the window. That's just an example. So you go through that. The other thing you need to put on your monthly expenses are things that you wouldn't spend wouldn't be paying for every month. For example, if you pay your car insurance every 6 months, that would be something that you would put on your on the form that you're putting on what you're spending. Does everybody okay? Okay.
Another thing that is house insurance comes once a year, real estate taxes once a year. Auto insurance and maybe even life insurance, divide that up by 6 or 12 and just put that down. Or Christmas or gifts. Christmas just comes once a year.
And, or other holidays.
And so what we have done and recommend to everybody is write down your expenses. It's not a punishment, but just write down what you spend, even tolls, what you go where we live. If we go anywhere, there's a tollway that we have to pay 45 cents or 50 cents just to go. So there's little expenses that you incur or are taking public transportation or whatever. And write that down for a month and then divide it up into different categories.
And if it's no blame, no pain. This is, you're just trying to find out where you are. What's painful about it is, I think we're afraid of what we're spending. What I found out was that I was a book junkie. And I love to buy books. That's one of my favorite things. So we have not stopped. I have not completely stopped buying books, but I'm very much more conscious of the books I buy. I will take my time at Borders, so I spend a whole evening there. We'll set out the books, and I decide which ones I want to buy. Also, we found out that they had a deal because we have our own business, home business. There's a 20% discount for corporations or small businesses. So we worked on that. So you look at it. And it's not that you want to punish yourself and completely deprive yourself, but I actually enjoy my book buying more now because I'm more selective. And so whatever your spending habits are, you'll find out what they are. And that's an important thing. The other thing is, often when you save money, you are also helping your health and helping the ecology, and sometimes it's even good for relationships. What's the least expensive way to feed a newborn? What's the healthiest way to feed a newborn? Same thing. What's the best for the ecology? Breastfeeding. And it's better for the mother-child relationship. And it often follows through with other things. One thing we've always done is we've always gotten by in one car. If you read the book, The Millionaire Next Door, they often were one-car families. We have gotten one new car in all the years we were married because it's just not practical. They say your best deal is usually a two-year-old car because they've gotten all of the bugs out of it. And so that's a thing. We've saved thousands and thousands of dollars over the years by only having one car. We moved purposely near public transportation because at that time, Tom was working downtown. But what we've found now, we still have one car. And we have, you know, our children are all drivers and stuff. But if we need an extra car, we rent one. If you really need a car, an extra car for a weekend or two, we rent a car. And that still is less expensive, yes.
Any other transportation?
Yes, train. He's always been able to take the train.
We moved deliberately.
Yeah, we
were within a mile of a train station where I commuted for 30-some years.
And you can see that was less expensive. It was healthier because he walked. And it was better for the ecology because you're sharing the ride with other people. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's a good question. If you're in a rural area and you're not near public transportation, it makes it more difficult. Apparently, what I think one of the things you possibly, well, something some people do is when the one person needs the car, they drive the person to or from work. The other thing is to look into carpooling. It's really much more difficult. You know, carpooling is a possibility. And then again, if you only need it once in a while, the car rental is actually cheaper if you look at it in the long run. But it's a good question. So
one of the things is even purchasing a car. The last couple cars that we've bought, we've actually gone and bought them from Enterprise Auto, the sales.
The rental
cars, a year, you know, you save 30% off the list price. And the one car we have now has almost 120,000. The other one has close to 80,000. We've got a lot of miles, you know. So, but that our daughter drives now, taking over. But,
okay. We've got, we're going to have, does everyone have the sheet of the budget categories? Because I'd like to go through it. And if you didn't, let's, you want to give it to the
sheet?
Yeah.
Here.
Is it budget categories? Because this we're going to, give me one. I'm going to skip there. Okay. Okay. This is one of the things you'll want to do after you finish putting in all of the expenses you've had for the year, for the month. You'll want to look at how to break down the expenses. After you've looked at how what has been unnecessary expenses, then you'll look at what are just the frills, and you'll look at what are actually, you could break them down to obligations, necessities, pocket expense, a family allowance, and personal allowance. You can break it down any way you'd like. This is just one way to break down your expenses, to categorize them. The first thing under obligation is a loan. That would probably be credit card loan. How do you think you could look at a credit card loan that you're paying off? How could you make it less expensive? Pay it off every month. That's the best way to do it. The other thing is never make the minimum payment, because it's the amount that you're paying is you can look at any of the budgeting books. The amount you're paying for credit card interest is a terrible amount. It's huge. There are also some credit cards, they'll be offering you like 0%. If you're in a situation where you're already in credit card debt, you can find other credit cards that have lower amounts of credit, or you can find one that has no credit for 6 months or so. The next thing, there's two schools of thought. Some people think you should pay off your smallest amount first, so that energizes you. So you've got, say you have three credit cards that you're in debt with. Some schools of thought say pay off the smallest one first. Some schools of thought say pay off the one that has the highest rate of interest first. But look into changing interest rates. Look into trying not to pay, you know, incur more credit card debt if you can. But those are some of the things you can do with credit card. Any other questions about the credit cards? Yes.
Just one thing I heard, you can actually call up the company.
Excellent. He said you can actually call the company you're doing business with and ask them to lower your rate. And they often will, because they don't want to lose you as a customer. That's a good thing. The next thing on the list is mortgage. How do you think you could lower your mortgage?
Okay, refinancing. Today we're at the lowest interest rates in probably my lifetime, 40, 50 years. And in fact, we're in the process of refinancing right now for 4.75%. Okay, what does it cost to refinance? And that's something you may want to shop around. Just doing tax returns the last year, I see people paying anywhere from $1,500 to $8,000 to refinance. And, you know, some of these dot-com companies are going to pay the most, I've seen, that advertise the low that you're getting a bargain and you're not. So you may want to check around. I have found $2,000 is an average fee for total refinancing costs. Okay, if you have a mortgage of $100,000, it's going to take you 2 years to save that. That if you were, you know, It's going to cost you $2,000. If you're saving 1% interest, you're going to recoup that money in 2 years or less. So some of you may have much higher rates and consider now may be one of the best times and last times we have these low rates that we ever. I mean, when we first bought our house 15 years ago, it was 10%, and we've now are going through our fourth refinancing. We went from 10 to 7 3/4, 6 3/8, and now we're at 4 3/4. So this is, and it, as I said, it pays the shop around to see what the closing costs are, and you may be quite surprised how varied. You got some.
I'm just curious if I have like 6.25% rate. Mm-hmm.
Is that 30 years, 15 years, or what?
30 years.
Okay.
And we just did it and didn't have to, actually have to pay any fees. I guess we could have bought a lower rate had mm-hmm. to pay fees. But my question is, if I work from home, and so I couldn't bring an income, but when I have my next baby, I'm not going to be working from home. So every penny is pinched at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it for us to try to refinance even though the rates just a little bit lower now?
As I said, right now, you could probably get on a 30-year loan about 5 1/4. Now, I don't know how big your mortgage is. That's if your mortgage is $100,000 or more, and you're going to pay $2,000 in closing costs, you may recoup that. And you're going to live there. What is your intentions of how long you intend to live in your house? That's the thing you got to weigh. If you're going to live there a while, you would probably recoup that difference in 1 to 2 years. So, again, when it comes to refinancing, you got to ask your question, how long am I going to live in this house? Because we're a mobile society. But if your intentions are to live for a while, then you may think about refinancing right now, even though you've just refinanced, because you're going to recoup that 1% in a very short time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Drops your monthly amount usually, and that helps. The other thing is, if you do have an office in the home, that's a tax deduction in the U.S. That's one way to get the government to help you pay for your mortgage, is to have a business in the home. And there are some details around it, but you can usually figure it out. A drastic way to reduce your mortgage is to move into a different home. That's some people do that. They've gotten into our next door neighbors. The lady, they adopted a baby last year, and when the baby was 5 months old, she happily found out she was pregnant with her biological child. So she ended up within a year having two little children, and the home was very too small for them, they felt. But they didn't feel they had enough money to move into a bigger home, so they took the drastic measure of moving in with her parents for a while till they can save for a larger home. It did two things for them. It gave her a little more help because she has a toddler and a newborn, and it's also another way of her saving money at that time, so that she has help with her family, and she also is saving money. That's more drastic, but some people do it. That's just one of the things. The same with rent. That's sometimes single people, if they're, you can also sometimes find another single mother with a child to share the rent or mortgage. That's another possibility. Then we get to insurance. You want to talk a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of times, if you're like me, you've probably been dealing with the same insurance company for years and years and years. And you know, sometimes, especially the last couple of years, they're going up and up and up, even though if you've had no accidents or anything. You may want to shop around and compare your insurance with other insurance companies and see what you're paying. You may find out you're saving some money. The same thing with home insurance, you know. Again, there's a way to save it is look at your deductible. I mean, you're paying a very outrageous, if you have a low deductible, which may have not been low 15 years ago, but it is considered low now, like a $250 deductible, you may want to consider moving up to a $500 or $1,000 deductible, and you're probably going to save a few couple hundred dollars a year just to change that, and it'll probably save you money in the long run. Auto insurance is the same thing. You know, you can compare auto insurances and deductibles in that category too. And then again, you people have needs of life insurance, and there's always the argument of term versus whole life, and it depends upon what your income situation is and how much insurance you feel you need. But the rates vary in that also. The next is tuition.
Okay. But then with tuition, of course, it depends on whether you're talking about private school tuition or you're talking about college tuition. With private school tuition, I have had several friends who've worked out deals with the private school, whether they can be lunchroom mothers or whatever, and they can cut the cost of tuition. Sometimes there's actually scholarships for that. With college, there is the junior college system is pretty good in this country, in the United States, and I suppose it depends on what area you live in the world as to how that goes. Student loan in the U.S., you can make sure you're deducting you're deducting the cost of the interest you pay on your taxes. Property taxes sometimes can be lowered if you go to the taxing authority and have it reassessed
or appeals.
So you can always ask. You got to make sure you're getting all the exemptions you have. In some areas, you get an exemption if you're a resident, and certain things like that. Ask about the exemptions. Sometimes when you have had home improvements on your home, they'll give you a 5-year period, grace period, where they don't increase your taxes. So those are the sort of thing that you might want to look into. We've given you lots of resources on the web and in books that will help you with looking at other things like health care expenses and things of that sort. Have any of you found a way of cutting insurance in your life or tuition in your life? Yeah.
Our cars are over 10 years, so it's just not even worth it to insure them for comprehensive
collision. Excellent. When your car gets beyond, usually about I think the standard is about 5 years, but you know your car. You may not want to insure it for collision because you wouldn't get that much if you suffered a damage to it anyways. So you might be better off paying the less amount of insurance. But, okay. That's excellent. She drives less than 6,000 miles a year, so they dropped her premium by about $200. If you have a college student and they live more than 90 miles away and they're on your car insurance, you can have them drop for the period of time they're away. That's another way of doing it.
If you have a student that's getting a B or average or above, a student driver, that's also can be a discount on your insurance if you have a
yes.
Student. I just fill out a paper and send it to them.
One of the next items of necessity is food and groceries. Yes. Okay, that's excellent. That's excellent advice. Thank you. He said that be scrupulous about the way you report how far you drive, because they'll kick you up from 4.9 to 5 miles to work. That's excellent. One of the items we have here is food and groceries. Going back to the model of what's healthiest for you, what would be, with groceries and food, what would be one of your healthier options, would you guess? Having a garden. Excellent. That's a good one. And it tastes better. It's economical. It's you're healthier. You get the exercise of doing the gardening. You get the nutrition of something just picked from the garden. I remember realizing that what a sweet pepper was the first time we grew them. I realized why they called them sweet peppers, because when they're right out of the garden, they really do taste sweet. There are grocery clubs that you can belong to. Anybody else have any good suggestions on reducing the cost of your food?
Farmers markets,
good. Yes, less expensive than supermarkets.
I go to ethnic markets because I'm in the Washington area.
Excellent. Ethnic markets, excellent. Okay. Pardon? Coupons. Yes, all of those things are good. Is someone back there?
Okay, for grains you buy in bulk and rather than a small box. There's a thing they said, you know, that anytime, what would be more expensive? The little Lunchables you can buy for the packaged Lunchables for your children for lunch, or something you packed them from home? So you know, it's just, which is more expensive? It's the packaging. Again, ecology and health goes right along with it. Those are all good things to keep in mind.
Yeah. Anybody else have any other suggestions? One of the things, yes.
I said food co-ops.
Food co-ops, yes. We did that a long time ago.
Yes.
Another thing is staying away from convenience stores. You know, try to do all your shopping once a week, or you know, at the big store, instead of, because if you run out, you're going to pay way more going to the White Hen or 7-Eleven or, you know, one of those convenience stores. Another item is utilities. How can we save on our utilities? Well, we've got gas and electric and water and all that stuff, and one of the things is you may want to turn your thermostat down in the winter and not as high in the summer to keep, you know, I realize we're used to living in air conditioning, and you may want to turn your water heater down from the highest level. You may not want it scalding hot, but you save money doing that.
It's also safer for your children if you don't have it up too high, hot water.
But there are ways of saving your utilities. It just
In our handouts we have some material too, where there's different websites you can go to that tell you how to save on electricity, how to save on your other utility bills, and also on how to buy appliances that are more energy efficient. Did I see a hand up here? Yes.
I was just saying that I know our power company sent out a little paper that if you do use your power, your laundry or whatever on off-peak hours, and you can sign up for the program, it would be like a little bit less.
Yes, that's an excellent thing. In some areas, your power company may offer that if you use your washer or dryer in off-peak hours, you might be able to have a reduced amount. So it's good to check with your local power areas. Yes. Okay, she said that there's a significant difference in changing over to fluorescent rather than incandescent light bulbs. There's a significant saving in that. So those are all just different. I think the whole thing is to get a principle. One of the best places you're going to find ideas for saving money is in local league groups, because people are doing it. That's some of the best ideas we have. The other source of ideas I had was, I had a sister who was widowed with 8 children when she was 34 years old, and I always say she should run the government, because we would not have a deficit. She knew how, if I get a bargain, if I know it's a bargain, if I ask her, is that a bargain? And she tells me, I've gotten a bargain. And her children are grown now, and they said they never felt deprived. They never felt like they had anything extra. But like at holiday time, she'd give them a catalog and say, you have $20 or $10, whatever it was. Figure out what you want. Her children learn more math skills by figuring out what they could get for the holidays than they would have in any other way. And they also learned about saving money at the same time. Dry cleaning. We used to try to buy clothes that don't require dry cleaning if you can help it. And if they do, they used to. There are some actually home dry cleaning kits you can use. They're not going to be pressed for you or whatever, but it's an alternative to paying the price of dry cleaning.
Okay. I think a lot of it is. A lot of us work in an urbanized area where we were required to either bring a lunch or go out to lunch, and that can be a big expense, going out to lunch versus bringing your lunch.
Yeah.
And if you have a work location where they have a kitchen or a microwave, you can, you know, brown bag it or bring a lunch and put it in the refrigerator. You're saving money versus the going out to lunch every day, because that can be costly. especially if you're in an area where I used to work in the downtown Chicago area. It's far more expensive than a local area. A lot of it is, another thing is like today we, most of us are connected to the internet. And that's another expense you may want to shop around and look for different. You may not have a choice, but you may have a choice in different internet companies. But that can be, you sometimes lose your internet and name and everything else. But there's things. Newspapers and magazines. We used to buy, you know, that's one area we cut down and is just subscribe to one daily newspaper. And if we want on a Sunday, it's a big treat to go out Saturday night and buy the Sunday papers and instead of buying all the newspapers.
And household supplies, looking at that, vinegar cleans so many different things. And it's so cheap. And there's different places on the, we've got resources for you that you can use on the net or in the books we've gotten that can show you how you can cut down on that. And you're using vinegar, you're cutting down on chemicals that are in the environment. Again, it's a thing that can be less expensive and better for your health. So those are, that's kind of trying to think of that model is how can I do this so that it's going to be less expensive, be better for my health, and so forth. Yes. Yes. Wow.
And so I don't have any money for any month. So, but what I did was I found 19 subscriptions that were like $20 for 2 years. So it's my entertainment. It's like
yes.
Once a month it's going to come and I can take 3 hours and read it.
Yes.
And stuff costing me like $1 a month.
Yes.
Which is much cheaper than other things. So they can be good, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can be good. You can get magazine subscriptions. We used to, there's another thing too. People don't think about sharing things so much. But you could share a magazine subscription with your next door neighbor or a friend. You could share how many times, when you think about it, how many people have electrical lawnmowers when their neighbor has one? If you got along well enough, you could share one. Or maybe not the mower so much, but other tools that you, power tools that you wouldn't use as often. Yeah.
I know if you don't mind waiting until they're old, a lot of doctor's offices and dental offices will give you their old ones.
If you don't mind, okay, for magazines, a lot of doctor and dental offices will give you their old magazines. We used to say the library, too. You could go to the library if, you know. We spent a lot of time at the library when our children were little, especially. And there's many resources at the library. There's video rentals that are cheaper. I mean, you can go through a whole model, too. Okay, what would be the most expensive way to see a movie? At the movie theater in the evening. There's matinees. That would be the next thing. They're getting to be less and less of them, but in our area there used to be like second run, they call them second run theaters where you could see it. Then there's video rentals, and there's video rentals from the library, which sometimes are free depending upon what they are, or they're even cheaper than the video places. Yes. No, I'm glad.
You have to be a little creative too. I just bought a book where a lady, she had written it on activity she did with her kids because she was on a tight budget. She had several kids, and one thing that she would do for fun for them is she'd take and say, okay, we're going to go to the drive-in. She'd take the Hilton car, drive around the block, she'd pull in the garage, and she's got a TV and VCR set there, and they watch TV in the garage.
Okay, she said that she knows a lady who said, okay, we're going to go to the drive-in, and they drive, get in the car, they drive around the block, and she had a TV set and a VCR right in the garage, and they watched it, hopefully, from the car. Hopefully, they turned off the, right, rolled down the whistle, and so they made it fun. Creativity is tomorrow at the luncheon. There's a luncheon called Playful Parenting, and he talks about connection as being the most important thing with your child, with playing with them. My children's favorite toys, now that they're adults, we ask them what did they enjoy the most. Inevitably, it's like the empty appliance box. It's the puppet theater stage that we made out of old shutters and an old bookcase. Those are the things that they remember. And there's nothing wrong with doing resale shops. One of the best dressed ladies I know always buys from a secondhand shop or recycled shop. Once again, you're doing something that's better not only for your money but for the environment, because you're not getting new products or whatever. So those are all things to keep in mind when you're trying to cut down cost. With entertainment, there's concerts. If you're near any sort of college or high school even, sometimes children are more comfortable, or you're more comfortable bringing your children into a high school auditorium for a concert than you might be to see the symphony. It's not the same quality, but it's still the idea of support, and also supports your community. So those are some of the things we've done. Any other suggestions for reasonable
clothing?
Yes.
My wife wants to go clothing shopping, but she goes to Goodwill all the time.
Yes.
So I discovered the benefit of that. The other benefit of that is I just discovered we had to have a garage sale, and if you deduct it all, it can be huge. You get that $10, it's deductible from there. It's a lot of money.
Exactly. That's a good idea. His wife shops at Goodwill, and then they have they donate the clothing and get the deduction on their taxes. Excellent. Yes. Exactly. That's wonderful. Yes, she said that they have, she's in a military family, and they have a play group, and they have an exchange of clothes. As the girls get older, I know the prom dress time, those are really expensive. My daughters have been able to exchange prom dresses. So we found out 1 year when our daughter won a $1,000 scholarship for being a princess of a local festival, but we found out she needed 5 formal gowns, which that would have taken just about the whole $1,000 scholarship. But we were able to find dresses from all of her friends, and her friends were thrilled that she was going to wear the dress. And it's a fun thing that they can do. They actually get into it, and they can exchange dresses. It saves a lot of money that way.
One of the items that I find is small things to save money. Like, when the kids are young, they get brainwashed wanting to go to McDonald's and or places like that. And one of the things is the biggest cost item of going to a store, a place like McDonald's, is the soda pop. Bring water. Or bring your own, that's where you cost the most money is the soft drinks of a restaurant, instead of, a lot of times people will go to McDonald's and bring the food home and have the Coke from home instead of buying it at McDonald's, because that's a big cost item. That's just one small thing. And even eating out is drinking water. One of the things is when you realize for every dollar you save, you're really saving about $1.35, $1.40 when it comes to the income. It costs, you have to earn $1.40 or $1.35 to save a dollar. So for every dollar you're saving, you're really saving far more than $1, because when Uncle Sam takes away his cut, or provincial income taxes or whatever, Canadian income taxes or whatever, it costs you your dollar that you got in your paycheck. So you're really saving far more than the dollar that you're saving.
Yeah, a penny saved is much more than a penny earned. It's actually worth more money. So if you think of it that way, we have a lot of friends who are retired, and it seems like often when they retire, one of the parties, if there's two people, takes on the role of CEO of finances. And it's amazing the amount of, they just told us about a program, friends of ours just told us about a program where they can get prescription drugs through a place called a Canadian pharmacy in Florida. He sends down his prescriptions to Florida. Florida saves over $100 a month on prescriptions. He's we call him, this friend of ours who's retired, we call him the king of coupons, because he finds coupons you wouldn't believe. And it's amazing, because he spends the time. And you are going to sacrifice some time when you're doing these things, whether you're, you know, cooking from scratch or cutting coupons or finding out about these programs. But it can be done.
One of the things, when we used to travel and go on vacations for our first 10 or 15 years, we live up in Illinois, and my parents retired down in Florida, so that was our yearly vacation. And we used to, our younger kids remember having a cooler in the back seat. And one of the things we do to keep our kids occupied was Mary would go out and go garage sailing and buy little gifts for the kids. They keep them entertained and then wrap them up, and that would keep the kids occupied. And as I said, we lived out of the cooler on the way to Florida. And of course, we lived with we'd stay with mom and dad for a week or two till we could not take anymore. But there's a lot of creativeness you can do when you're traveling. And then I would, as I said, I would go to, if we traveled somewhere that I hadn't been to, instead of buying a mobile travel book for $13, I could take the same book out of the library for 3 weeks, and I'd carry that book with me for, you know, and travel with that and look for the places to stay. I'd have the mobile travel book from the library while we were traveling. But that was one of the things that would save us money.
Another thing we did with traveling is we would rent a cottage with my sister and her family so that we'd split the cost of that sort of thing. Camping is another thing. You can camp in many parks for free or close to it, and the net has you can go on the net and find lots of cheap places. And for airline travel and things like that, sometimes you'll go to these, we've found if you go to some of the net places, you may or may not get the best deal. Sometimes we'll go to three sources before we decide where we're going to buy our airline ticket, and it might be on the internet, or it might be calling the airline directly.
I have found, particularly with dealing with some hotel chains, we just came back. We have a daughter going to school in South America, and we spent some time when she was in Ecuador. And I had looked at Travelocity and Priceline.com, and I found the cheapest deals is calling the hotel directly. And then I ask them for the cheapest rate, and when they give you a rate, then I ask for what the weekend rate is. Do you have any specials? And they keep lowering the thing, you know. And then when you get there, okay, we were in a situation where we had a special recon rate that included breakfast. And then we came back on Sunday night, and I said to the gentleman at the counter, I said, this includes breakfast, doesn't it, for the rest of the week? He said, yes. So we never got charged for breakfast, even though it never, you know, showed up. But you got to ask for these things. But I find sometimes calling the hotel directly or the hotel chain directly, you get your best bargains over any of these .com networks.
And then it's always, there's a category of family gifts. And we talked a little bit about how our children's favorite gifts were handmade. One of the favorite gifts my daughter ever made me, she made me a tape of some songs that she thought would be interesting to me from different places. It was a lovely gift. And it cost her whatever it cost to get the audio tape. And it was it's something I'll always remember. I know of a couple families that one Christmas they exchanged garage sale gifts or resale gifts, and they find that they get the most exotic, interesting presents because people take the time and they have a lot of fun with it. The next Christmas they'll do homemade gifts, and that's also a challenge and something interesting, and it's something personal, so it's actually more well received than other gifts, and they always have a lot of fun with doing that. And that's another thing. Contributions go in there. It's kind of interesting when you do reading on contributions, a lot of people who know a lot about budgeting and so forth feel you should always have a category for contributions. And the reason is because if you don't give any of your money away, you'll always feel poor no matter what. I was talking to a man who's a therapist, and he said that he had a client who came in trying to get coaching to become a millionaire. And so he did. And the guy still, when he became more than a millionaire, and yet he was very upset when he had $9 million and it went down to $5 million. So it's your perspective on things, and that's why they feel that contributions, when you can give contributions, you don't feel as poor, and it somehow makes you feel like you can, that you have a little expendable money. That's why contributions are in that section.
And speaking of contributions, one of the things that we do as tax preparers is tell people, you know, after you have your garage sale and you got stuff that you don't know what to do with, is we make an itemized list and give it to Goodwill or AmVets or whatever the thing is, and make sure each time you go, give a list that's less than $250. You can get itemized. You can buy all kinds of things, how the value of secondhand gifts or thrift shop value of your gifts. But we give, and we have people that monthly give away, and they have $2,000-$3,000 deduction off their tax return, legitimately. And for every dollar that you have a deduction, it's 25 cents in your pocket.
Yes. $250 in the U.S., if you give less than $250 worth of goods away to the AmVets or Purple Hearts, all you need is your own list of what you gave plus a receipt from them. If you give more than $250, for example, we have a lot of people who give away cars, then you need something from the charity saying exactly what you gave them. Yes, absolutely. You can break it up. Yes. I always, in fact, that's how I sort out what I'm giving away to Goodwill. I stop before 250 just because it's easier to do it that way. Except the 1 year we donated a car and then we got the receipt from them. Yes.
2 years ago, I added up all the things that I ended up donating to the league and put in the league.
Yes. Exactly.
Volunteer expenses.
Yes, volunteer expenses are deductible as a miscellaneous charitable deduction. And that includes your trip to the conference. If you're working for anything at the conference, any of your miscellaneous expenses, those are considered volunteer deductions. And it's like you said, write them down because you lose track of it. Write down your miles, too. Your time's not deductible, but your mileage is. So those are things to keep in mind with that sort of thing. We've talked a little bit about garage sailing and so forth. Has anybody else? Yes, go on.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, please.
My wife's an ACL. I'm babysitting, I guess. Whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Does that mean we all write down our trip?
No, unfortunately, it's just like a business trip. If you were on a business trip, unless both of you are doing business, the one part is deductible. The room is deductible. Your expenses of traveling here are not. Even though you're more than helping her, I know. I'm sorry. I'll carry it back. Is he a speaker at this conference? Probably not. Yeah. Right. No, that's kind of stretching it. It would not be the standard they use for when enrolled agents are talking about what you can deduct is whether two out of three would not consider it would consider a deduction, and two out of three wouldn't. You'd find one out of ten who would, but you know, I mean, you hit something. Yeah. No, if you're going to go home and use your knowledge, you're a Leche League leader, and you're going to go home and you're going to help mothers with breastfeeding, or you're going to go home and help in your group in some way, those are volunteer expenses. And so it's not a business deduction, but it's a volunteer expenses under miscellaneous charitable deductions. And So we're starting to talk a little bit about clothing. There's ways of, you know, we've talked about lending clothing to one another, making trades and this sort of thing. Those are good things. Personal recreation. Can you list 20 things that are not expensive that you enjoy doing?
Going for a hike.
Going for a hike. Okay. Playing basketball. You notice, too, those things, we talked a little bit before about saving money and doing things that are healthy. Right off the bat, those two things are better for your health and better for your economy at the same time. We've done, you know, national parks, this sort of thing. Bicycling, you get one bicycle, we do a lot of that. Those are things that are all fun. We used to do a lot of potluck dinners with friends. Or they call it a stone soup supper, where everybody brings something to throw in the soup. And some of the most fun we've ever had were doing things like that, or having camping times, you know. So a night out with friends can be, my daughter and her friends are all kind of 20-something, and they have a movie night once a month where they all bring food and they all watch a video. And they have more fun doing that than a lot of other things. Souvenirs, the best souvenir is probably a picture, yes. Good. To look at the zoos, a lot of times they'll have one day, or the zoos or museums have free days. The other thing some people do is they become a member of a museum or a zoo, and you get a donation, you get a deduction for that. Plus you get to, sometimes they have sister museums all over the country. You can actually go on the web. I think we have an internet resource there that'll point you to when the free days at museums are. Yes. Excellent. So she goes, this lady said she goes to the museum that charges the least for membership, and that membership is good in all the sister museums. So you're helping everybody. You're helping the museum, you're helping yourself, and it's all good things that are inexpensive than what you could go for in other ways.
Does anybody have any? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. The Oakland A's have like dollar nights on Wednesday night. In our area, we have minor leagues where you can, the White Sox have Monday nights, dollar nights. And there also, we have like some minor leagues. The other thing is some of the most fun we've ever had we went to college and high school sporting events when our daughters were involved, but you can still keep doing it later on. And it's kind of inspiring for the younger kids to see children that much older than they are participating in different sports. We found out one of the best, most reasonable ways to get swim lessons for our kids was to get them on the swim team even before they were very good swimmers. They had more swimming in that time than they would in regular swim lessons. And in my last daughter's swim class, one of the girls in her class was still wearing water wings. They wouldn't let her use it during the meets, but by the end of the season, she was participating. And any other good suggestions for saving money before we go on to the next?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It depends on a couple. The first thing you need is to have an area completely dedicated to that business. In other words, you can't have a corner of your family room. You have to have a room that's completely dedicated to the business. It ebbs and flows on how much they, right now, the IRS is looking favorably on home businesses. And a few years ago, there was a case where a doctor named Solomon tried to deduct a home business because he did all of his office things out of the home, and they denied him the deduction. But they've actually gone and reversed that. So even if you're a doctor and you do most of your business outside, if you have a dedicated home office where you do billing or see clients or patients, then it's a deduction. So they've gotten easier about it. You do need to take in some money. If you don't take in, make a profit in 2 out of 5 years, they might look at it as a hobby. But there are other ways to demonstrate that it's a business, such as if you advertise, how much time you take. If you look like it's, and if it's a business, that's not going to bring you a lot of fun on the side. I mean, if somebody's going to say they're refurbishing racetrack cars or something and it's their hobby, you got to be careful that it's not just a hobby, but to make sure that you have business intent.
And if you do start making money in a business, you can deduct a portion of your utilities. You can take their cost of your home minus the land value and deduct it. Say you have 100 square feet of a office, a room, and your house is 1,000 square foot. 10% of your utilities would be deductible. Take the cost of your house and take depreciation, 1/10 of your value of depreciation. So there is, you know, there's ways of reducing your income as you need a. If you have a phone line, you need a separate business line. The IRS is very particular about that. You just can't use your phone and deduct it unless you're used. The only thing would be deducted is long distance phone calls. But that's, you know, but there are benefits, and Mary and I have had a home business for 30 plus years. So,
Any other comments on saving before we go on to what we're going to plan for the future? Okay, the first thing they tell you when you start to become a certified financial planner, the first thing they tell you to tell people is to get 3 to 6 months of living expenses put aside. So if you don't have any other savings, that's where your first savings should go. So if you decide you want to give up $20 worth of Starbucks a month and put it into anything, you should have an account set aside that would be for an emergency fund. In our recent economy, that's become more evident than others, that you need to have something for emergencies. What are some of the other kind of long-term financial goals you might have? Retirement, okay. And that's best, retirement is best if you can do it before tax. So if you have a 401k or if you have, if you don't, if you're not employed outside the home, most people can take a spousal IRA deduction of up to $3,000. You do have to have some income. We always encouraged for our daughters, when they first got their first jobs, the part-time jobs, we had them take out IRAs because we told them definitely, you keep that in there until you retire, because the younger you are, the faster it's going to accumulate. And this year, for those who make under a certain amount of money, mostly young people in their 20s, there was another gift from the federal government. Not gift, but they gave you money back for saving, a saver's credit. So it's good to try to keep up on the tax laws, too, wherever you live. In some countries, like when we were in Ecuador visiting our daughter, they just have a 15% flat tax, and their employer actually fills it out and sends it in. So that's different. So depending upon where in the world you are, it might be a little bit different. But in the U.S., there still are different kinds of tax advantages you might want to look at. But retirement saving, the younger you are, the more that $1,000 you put away is going to be worth by the time you retire. And what are other some financial goals that you might have? Tuition for college tuition. Okay, that's an important thing too. And there's things called 529 plans. Those are before, you know, the disadvantage of the 529 is it has to be used for college. Yeah. There are also something called an unified gift UGMA. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. A lot of times people don't know if their children are going to go to college or whatever. And I recommend starting out because you can open up a UGMA account, Unified Gift to Minors Act account, and it can earn up to $700 worth of interest and dividends and capital gains per year without paying any taxes. The thing about an UGMA account, should some financial need come along the way, you can pull that money out. And I've never had an IRS question that. So that's one thing you may want to start out with, the UGMA account. If you're more financially, sometimes people can start out with large sums of money into a 529. If you know your kids are going to go to college and you're financially secure, then a 529 account, which you can open up. Every state has a 529 account, or every mutual fund, you can be tied into any state's financial 529 account. Most mutual funds have 529 accounts set up, so there's a variety. You can look around in the market out there and see what you're interested in. But as I said, if you're just going to save a little bit along the way and, you know, don't know what the situation is, you may want to open up a UGMA account and then later on go into, as the money grows, into a 529 account. As I said, the 529 account has got to be used for college tuition. It can be passed down to another kid or something like that, but you can't pull it out. It's more restricted. Yes?
Before the 529, there was one
where
you could stick in $500 a year.
That's an educational IRA account also. That's been up to $2,000 now.
Okay. I've got, after the stock market crashed down, I put in some money, but it's down to like $400, $500. And, you know, at 10% fees almost or something, it just seems very small. Should I be dumping more into that or more into the 529?
I think you may want to, I don't know where you got your IRA account, I mean your educational IRA account. There seems to be that you have a high amount of fees. There are IRA accounts that have very low fees out.
It was a Vanguard.
Okay.
It's just that since it's such a small amount, and you're paying a $10 fee.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sure, you could transfer. Yeah. Is it transferable?
Yes, but if you go in a 529 account, you're probably going to have some fees in there also, possibly.
What you're saying is that small money's got more in the other, so that this
you could probably
fees put in one place.
I would put your money in one place. I wouldn't have it in both places, because now you're having double fees.
But since it started in the one before the 529 ever became available, yeah. Should I just keep staying in that?
Is that transferable even?
I don't even know if that's transferable.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You have to check into whether it's even possible. There may be tax consequences for transferring it to that. We'd have to look into.
But as I said, the IRA, the educational IRA account now is up to $2,000 a year, so you can put more money than $500 a year. Yes.
UGMA is UGMA. That means Unified Gift to Minors Act.
Another thing, speaking of retirement, many people work for a company that has a 401k, and because we're a mobile society, people change jobs frequently. And I always have a suggestion. I meet with people if I find out in advance, and you can roll that money. If you change jobs, you can usually roll that money out of an IRA into an IRA account from a 401k. The biggest problem I see is people want to get their hands on that money. And there's a big consequence to taking money out of a 401k and spending it. Not only do you pay income tax on that, but you have to pay a 10% penalty in this country if you're under 59.5. And so it becomes very cost efficient. I mean, if you're in a 25% bracket, you're paying one-third of that money to Uncle Sam. And you're better off borrowing the money if you need the money than taking that money out of a 401k and spending it on something. It's best to roll that money over. Not only that, but whatever money you've saved up for retirement, you've now lost it. But I see that to be one of the biggest problems that people sometimes want to get their...
Yeah, they're astounded. If they call us ahead of time and we say they're taking out $9,000 and we tell them they're going to get back $6,000 at best, then they realize that it's going to cost them $3,000 for a $6,000 loan. And so that's something that you should really try not to do if you can help it at all. And it's a very common error that people make, but probably one of the most common things. And the other thing is if you have a match matching program with your 401k, it's a good idea to at least put in your 401k as much as you get matched. And please stay diversified in your 401ks. The people at Enron who lost their money, for the most part, were the people who had just bought the stock. They were heavily invested in the stock of the company and didn't diversify. The old, you know, the old cliche, don't put all your eggs in one basket, really make a difference. During the last boom period of the stock market, we had people who kept wanting to, we had them diversified, and they kept saying, but this fund is making 40%. And we kept saying, stay diversified. And those who listened were much happier over the long run to stay diversified. Those who insisted on moving their money to the 40% money maker of the year lost money. So it's staying diversified is really important. The younger you are, the more you can risk. As you get older, you should have less in risky investments.
Well, I, first of all, you want to go up to the maximum your company is going to match. You should always do that. Okay. The second of all, the more you put in, the more you'll have for retirement. I think it's a case of how much can you afford, and that you're going to have to do your budgeting on. You know, if we could all afford to put 15%, you're going to achieve a retirement much faster, much earlier. And one thing about I wanted to say beforehand, when you take money out of a 401k, this is where people get tricked up. There's a mandatory 20% that whoever, if you take money out of a 401k, they automatically withhold 20%. People think that's all they owe in taxes until they come to us. And we got to be the bad people to tell them, hey, you only took out half of it, but I already took out the money. Yes, that's the mandatory what is taken out, but they don't realize that that's only part of what they owe. But yes, I recommend, you know, you can go up to 15% if you can afford it. That's something that you, but at least put in what's yeah, matched.
I have a question about long-term savings, long-term care of disabled children. I've started putting away money. What would you recommend as the best type?
With long-term care for disabled children, I would definitely go through your, whatever your state association of disability children are, and talk to them first, because there are, I've heard people say that, you know, how you have it worded is very important, because if you put too much in their name, one woman said she never put anything in her daughter's name because she's found out that then she would not be eligible for certain state programs. So if I had a disabled child, the first thing I would do is go through the Association of Disabled Children. They really can help you the most as far as telling you how to word things, and I would just search around a lot for that and find out, because there are different programs in different states. There are states where you can get help for a disabled child. I've seen people who have been paid to take care of their disabled brother or sister. Not a lot, but something. So depending on the state programs, I would definitely look into the state programs and look into, that's how the Leche League is. We're all a network of breastfeeding mothers. Go to the networks. When you have a special needs child or something like that, that's the best thing you can do. You can get a lot of help from that. The other thing, some of the ways we save are just by putting change into a can. You'll be surprised how much just putting your loose change, just making a habit of putting your loose change away. And that's a good way of teaching children, too, because then when you're finished, you know, some people have a little can of change, and they use it for vacations, or depending on how much change they get, they can actually put it to save. We started a vacation fund. We decided that one of our financial goals was to have a vacation fund. So in addition to our retirement fund, we'd have a vacation fund that we could just use, hopefully just use the interest on to vacation. And we started by doing coupons. And so every time we save a dollar on a coupon, we'd put a dollar in the vacation fund. And that was kind of an incentive to help us. And anytime we got an unexpected source of money, we would then put it into that saving account, like a raise or something like that. Put it into the fund you want after you've had your emergency fund. If you want, you know, college fund or vacation fund, start doing it, thinking of ways that you can get that extra money in it. Having a garage sale, anything like that would go into the special fund.
I guess, is there any other questions that we have not covered? Or you, anybody have any questions?
Okay, this want to make sure everybody has a notebook. Everybody has a notebook. If you don't have two, if there's two of you who are going to be keeping it, we will like you to take one before you go. That is something to think about doing as a spending plan and deciding what you want to do. There's different things. The 50 money saving tips and the 101 money saving tips are things you can find on there. And I think a lot of what can help, there's also books on the list. If you have usually in a family, there's one saver and one spender. And even if two spenders marry each other, one will become the super spender. So you have to, you know, kind of talk about that. And then also think, what does money mean to you? Does money mean love? Does money mean, what are some of the words that come to mind when you think about money? Power. Security.
Conflict.
Stress. Yeah, all of those things can be. But it's kind of interesting if you think about it, though. One of the most powerful women in the world was Mother Teresa. She had very little money. Is money security? Tom's dad was 90-some years old, and we got calls from the Largo Police Department saying that he kept reporting people stealing notes off his refrigerator. His security was not his money. His security was in the fact that we flew down to Florida to see what was going on. His security was the bonds he had with his family. His money didn't do him any good. In fact, he was taken by unscrupulous people who would take his money. They would, you know, someone invested him in an annuity that he could take out without penalty in 5 years. He was 95 years old. That would, you know, she just... So his security, even though there is some security in money, it's not the only security. You'll find in the long run, his security was the fact that he had bonds with people. He had money, but he was not capable of dealing with it. If you examine how you feel about money, it's a good way to talk about things. And then if you realize that what it means to you, some of your first memories of money are important to go back to and see what that is. You know, was your first memory pleasant or unpleasant? Writing things down is one way of reducing the stress. Doing this exercise with your spouse, if you have a spouse, is very, very helpful because you can try to be on the same page and say, where do we want to be 5 years from now?
And how do we want to get there?
And how do we want to get there? Those are some of the things you need to look at. And with conflict, there are books out there that will help you. One of the Money Harmony book, the woman who wrote that book, she has people change places. If someone, one's a spender and one's a saver, she has them change places and try to play act and act as if they were the other spouse. So that the all of a sudden the super spender is saying, wait, you can't spend money on that, because she's taking the part of the person who's supposed to be the saver. And that way you can come to sort of an agreement and improve your relationship at the same time. Did you have a question? Or, okay. Yes.
We're not very good at the follow-through.
At the what?
At the follow-through.
Yes.
If we get one of these books, I imagine halfway through the month, we're going to start having problems keeping track of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other recommendations for when you give up? We probably did it 3 or 4 times before we made it through a whole month. And it just became trying to think of the and trying to help one another do it. Reinforcing each other for doing it. And also if you take the tick that I'm not gonna look at it and say, you spent what on a train book? You know, and he'll say, what did you spend? You know, whatever. If you just say it's not blame, this is just to find out where you're at. And there are estimates that once you start doing this, that you'll reduce your spending automatically up to 20%. I think it's probably not as high with people who have been associated with La Leche League, because we do a lot of bargaining, you know, bargain hunting and stuff to begin with. But it can be done. I've seen it done. And it's there's books out there that will be inspiring to you. And there are books out there that have practical hints. There's loads of things on the internet. There's just a lot of resources out there. And it's just going, and another thing that keeps you going on keeping this is deciding what do you want to do if you have extra money. Where do you want it to go? You can have anything you want, you just can't have everything you want. And when you narrow that down, you can choose that you're going to have one thing. I mean, you can't have everything because you're not going to have a new car every year and retire early. But you can have anything you want if you want it bad enough and you work on it in a focused way. Yes.
One thing you haven't touched on.
Yes.
That I have found, and not all companies provide these kinds of things, but there are medical plans and daycare plans that can be taken off before taxes.
Excellent.
And before taxes stuff, that is
absolutely
free money.
Absolutely. Anything that can be taken off before taxes, medical savings,
the cafeteria
plans.
No,
not all companies have it. Right. But there are some. Yes, that's a good point. Talk to your human resource people. And the other thing is, one of the things my sister did, like with health care for her children, she had a son who needed braces, and she took her son to a dental school. He had excellent care because he had a student working on it, but they had a supervisor. So those are, you know, that type of thing. But the company plans, go to human resources, ask what are they. Another thing is to find out from your county. Go, you know, in your area, are there programs that are available to families? There's, in Illinois, there's a transportation, caveat sort of thing that you can have if you live so far away from the school and they don't have transportation, they'll pay you something for transporting your child to school.
Companies
will
your transportation.
Excellent. Some companies will. So the thing to start with that is to go to your company's human resource. It's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought it up. And use the resources in your community and start talking to your friends. Like I said, these retired friends of ours, it's kind of fun. They're almost like in competition where they can get the cheapest this or the cheapest that, but it's you know see it as a challenge and as something that's creative and fun, and the attitude means everything, just how you approach it, and to realize that you're going to be doing things that are good for yourself too besides saving money.
Also, I think most counties have a health department that gives out shots and
guarantee immunizations, right?
Yes, that are probably cheaper than me going to a
physician
and getting a vaccination. So.
I think those for pets.
For pets,
the
do they have?
Give rabies shots for $10.
Really? Well, that's good to know.
I didn't even know that one.
Yeah, for even your pets. Yeah.
I know our daughter, before she went to South America, the only place she could get some of the shots was through the county.
Oh, the health department, right. She needed a number of vaccinations that you never need here, but before she got her visa, she had to have typhoid and a number of other injections, and the health department was the only place to get them, and they were very reasonable. So those are some of the things to keep in mind. But it's just about 4:30, so if anybody has any other questions, and if you will please, we put our email on there in case you have any questions or suggestions. We'd like to hear from you, and you can take two of these booklets if you need them, either for your spouse or for a child who you want to keep track of your expenses. And the reason we gave them is because it's a tax deductible donation to us, but the main reason is because you try to inspire you to do it. And like I said, it did take us probably three times to get through a month the first time. A way to do it backwards is to go through your expenses for the past year. Instead of writing it down, you won't get your day-to-day little Starbucks type expenses, but you can get your mortgage and utilities from the past year by going back through your bills from last year, your checkbook and your charge cards, credit cards. Okay, thank you.